Read the introduction of a typical poetry anthology and you get something like this from William Harman in the top 500 poems. The 19th century seems to have been a golden age for poetry from first to last. I do not believe the 20th will ever look so good. I am not the first to remark that the greatest writers of the 20th century work in prose. I guess it depends where you look from. From Jerome Rothenberg's perspective, based on his own work, Inspirations, and his anthology of 20th century verse, it looks amazing. Describing his poetry career as an ongoing attempt to reinterpret the poetic past from the point of view of the present, Jerome is a performance poet pioneer, anthologist, translator, and author of over 50 books of poetry. The man who helped found the branch of ethnopoetics, Jerome was the visiting poet for Fall 2001 at the Northwest Spoken Word Lab in Auburn, Washington, and is our special guest today on the program. Jerry, it's been a tremendous weekend. Thanks for being here.
It's been a great weekend for me, too.
Excellent. You told students at Auburn High School on Friday morning that your first poet outside of English was Federico Garcia Lorca, or should I say García Lorca. You were even younger than they were when you discovered his work. Tell us about that.
Well, I was about 15 or 16. My brother, who was 8 years older than me, was just out of the army and studying at New York University. And a teacher of his, a lovely man named Thomas Riggs. When my brother showed him some of my poetry, became a very encouraging mentor for me and began to introduce me to work that, of course, at that point I had not come across on my own. And that included from the Spanish, the martyred poet Federico García Lorca, who had been killed by the fascists at the beginning of the Spanish Civil War. He was the first poet. Certainly the first contemporary poet that I had read in another language, or the first poet I had read whose work was in another language, and made a terrific impression on me through my teens into my 20s, and I've carried that with me into the present. Lorca, in fact, was an influence on a great many American poets. I tried some translations from Lorca, because even then I was given to translation, much more enthusiasm and I think an ability with translation than with languages as such. And partly translation became important for me as a way of coming to grips with other poets and other poetry by entering into a perhaps one-sided collaboration between myself and whoever it was that I was translating. Then many years later, I was given the opportunity or commissioned to translate a series of poems by Lorca. Early poems of his that he called the suites, using that musical term, suites. And I translated over 200 pages of those, and that was, I think, maybe the biggest translation project I had ever been engaged with up to that point.
Yeah. Even though you weren't aware of it as a very young man, 14, 15 years old, you had a sense of the power of the duende, as Lorca calls it.
Lorca is in a very wonderful essay that he delivered, I think, shortly after visiting New York and on his way back to Spain in Cuba, trying to describe a sense of the powers that he felt in poetry. He used the word duende, which is a kind of figure in Spain, like a troll or a leprechaun, or in the oldest and most powerful sense of the word, a fairy spirit. But he used it as to describe a kind of poetry that felt to the poet as if being engaged in a struggle. So not an invocation to a beloved muse, but a power battle with a kind of force of nature. And I think Lorca felt that this was knew that it was a term that was used by the flamenco singers and musicians with whom he was in very close contact. Whatever has black sounds, he said, has duende, so that kind of power that he was trying to get into the poetry. Although aside from that, he was also a very beautiful, elegant, graceful, and sometimes not comic, but witty poet.
Playful.
Playful poet.
Yeah. And the duende exists when there is the possibility of death.
Death has been a circumstance lurking behind a lot of poetry. We're quite aware of that, even at the most popular level. I mean, that is to say, when people in our own culture, who would seem to be separated from, alienated from poetry, actually get around to writing poetry. It's so often in relation to the death of somebody, as if no other language can be used at that point. You want that special language, whatever the results may be, there is at certain key moments in life still today a turning to poetry as a form of expression. And I, very happily recognize that and, see the work of other poets as, really not too distant from that, a confrontation with death and suffering, and also other deep forms of human experience, joyful ones as well as tragic ones.